Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is August 2nd, 2017, and that means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for July of 2017. By the way, any questions or comments, email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. And Mickey, hey, it's a good thing you didn't sell in May and go away, because otherwise, you know, you would have missed it all. You would have missed the action.
Yeah, would have missed about a 5% gain on all the indices. Record highs set many days of the month of July in all major U.S. markets. For example, five in a row in the Dow. Over the last week, 7 of 10 days, which we already talked about last week when you were in Vancouver for the S&P 500. NASDAQ had a more volatile month, but regardless, Dow closed at 21,891 on the month, up 2.5%. S&P 500, 2470, up 2%. NASDAQ up 3.5% to 6348. And the real laggard, but with lower moves in a percentage basis, but still record highs a number of days during the month, was the small cap index, the Russell 2000, up 0.7% to 1425.
So these markets, but Canada was lackluster, right?
Yeah, Toronto Stock Exchange, the big board's been down 3 months in a row right now to the tune, I'm doing the math in my head, of about 4%. It closed at 15,144, down 0.3%. Venture Exchange actually gained 3 points to 770, but it's had a very bad last 3 months, more or less. There's just no interest in that exchange. Canadian markets really have more from the sell may go away into the summer doldrums. It's been that way since the late spring. And there's a number of factors weighing in on those markets, very natural resource oriented. So the volatility in oil until recently, the downturn in metals. And then the Bank of Canada came out mid-month with a rate increase. Their first in 7 years, Kerry, if you can imagine that. So that knocked those markets down a bit. On the other hand, the emerging market index has been on quite a roll, doing the math up since the first year, about 23%, really led by China. Strong economic data coming out of China over the last couple of months. That index closed at 1068, up 5.5%. And meanwhile, the last market issue we deal with is the VIX, the S&P 500 volatility futures volatility index. Kerry, it's at historic lows. And I went back and looked at the data since this metric was established in 1986. There have been, until this month, 14 days total in whatever that is, 21 years below VIX, below 10. VIX closed below 10, 10 days in the middle of part of the month, 10 days in July. It finished the month at 1026.
Hey, and you know, it's really funny. When we started doing this back in December of 2011, the VIX was at 2340. So it's less than half or whatever that's worth.
But yeah, so despite the record highs, there's just no volatility. Now, one thing we should comment on is the markets have been hitting highs commonly over this year, but there's not been a lot of volatility in that market. It's kind of a steady tick-by-tick gain, so which leads to very low volatility.
Yeah. And I guess as long as the money keeps flowing and we have cheap money or free money, it's going to head into the markets. I mean, I think that's the lesson here.
Well, and certainly it's monetary policy of the Fed right now. since the economic crash of 2008, I think it's pretty clear that they've been building a stock market bubble. And really, that's the only thing you put your money into and make money at this point.
Yeah, and make it, as the VIX implies, pretty much volatility and risk-free.
Yep. And that's good because what we're seeing, and it's just starting to appear in the Toronto Venture Exchange. I met with one of my brokers. If you call a meeting for over beers when the market closes of importance, but he discussed with me yesterday the amount of money and inquiries he's getting from his U.S. clients. So that's really good for us if it continues, because when people make this much money in low risk markets, it leads to an appetite for higher risk, higher volatility, entrepreneurial venture exchange sort of speculations. And we would expect that to come into our market, the Toronto Venture Exchange, hopefully after Labor Day.
Yeah, one would expect. And as we started out the segment, sell in May and go away isn't really applying now, is it?
No, it really isn't. So, and I would consider that to be a good thing. So that metric really hasn't worked for very well for a number of years. Meanwhile, in money, the dollar hit a 2.5-year low. Trump got what he wished for, which was a weaker dollar. And of course, that's going to weigh positive on balance of trade sort of metrics. Dollar down 10% year to date, finished below 93, 3% loss to close the month at 92.86. Of course, the euro hit a 2.5-year high, went to $1.18. We haven't seen it at this level, well, for 2.5 years, for almost a 4% gain over the month. 10-year treasury lost a penny on its interest rate to 2.30. This is probably due directly to dovish comments by Yellen, basically saying we're in a low interest rate environment for the next 3 years. I would say maybe that's a little short her time frame. I don't see the end in sight for a low interest rate environment with the sort of debt we carry. And meanwhile, Bitcoin, for whatever it's worth, was up, pushing its all-time high once again, closed at $28.74 for almost a 15% gain over the month. Here's an interesting tidbit. I have no idea the reason why or what it means, but in a four-day period from July 16th to July 20th, Bitcoin gained 48%.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it might lose 48% here pretty quickly. So anyway, for whatever it means, you know, I'm not a Bitcoin aficionado. You're aware of that. And listeners are certainly aware of that.
Yeah, well, you know, it was up over 3,000 during that period. It went down to less than 1,900. And now it's fought its way back to, well, to today, but after the close of the month, so we don't really concern it. But, you know, it fought its way back to 2874. It's down now. There's all sorts of issues coming up with this fork, which we're not going to bore you with. But basically, it's an attempt to update the technology, make Bitcoin a true transactions processing platform, if you will. So with that out of the way, let's get to the important things like metals.
Yeah, gold had a curious month. I think it hit its summertime doldrum low, which we expect every year sometime in July and August, on July 7th with an intraday low of 1207, and it bounced right above that. So silver also had its low with 1 week less than $16. Platinum got as low as $8.99, but the second half, all these metals rallied, likely driven by FOMC dovish comments, North Korea, there's geopolitical risk, and the Trump troubles that seem to be ongoing with his communications department, if you will. Gold finished the month up at $12.69, up 2.2%. Silver 1680, 1.2% gain. Platinum, 939 for a percent and a half gain. And meanwhile, palladium has just been contrary to all these metals and all their trends. Really isn't a precious metal. Only 2% is used for jewelry, and there have been net outflows of investment palladium over the last couple of years. So palladium bucked the trend. It had a very good month, finished at 876 for 4.3% gain, and that's nearly three-year highs.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time we saw it, it hit 900 back in August of 2014.
Yep. Seems like a long time ago. And I guess it in dog years, it is.
Yeah, well, in trading years, it could feel like an eternity for sure. All right. So, Mickey, looking at copper, had quite an impressive month.
Yeah, it was a big winner over the month. It finally broke this resistance we've been talking about for quite some time, you know, with range bound this entire year between 250 and the low 270s. Broke out big time, finished the month at 287 for over a 7% gain. Very strong fundamentals for copper, and the next resistance will be at $3. I'm not going to tell you when it's going to get there, but it looks like a strong time in the near to midterm for copper.
Yeah, and the last time we hit this price, we hit exactly 287 in April of 2015. So if Dr. Copper knows his stuff, if he hasn't lost it, that could be a real good forward-looking indicator for.
Yeah, and that was right before the oil crash, too. So anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess we should go on to the oils, huh?
Yeah, which oils had quite a nice month.
Well, ended up nicely, but wow, what a volatile month for the oils. Depending on the way the wind was blowing up or down the Straits of Hormuz, if you will, with OPEC and U.S. inventories, how many rigs were drilling in the shale patch. Oil went up or went down. We've also had sanctions on Venezuela, increased sanctions on Russia. So all this weighed positively or negatively on the oil markets all month, but we hit the uptick the last week of the month. WTI closed at 50.16 for its first sustained closes since March, above $50 for a 9% gain. Brent was up 10% to close at 52.71. Meanwhile, Henry Hub went the other way, down 6.5% to 284, 20 cent loss on the month. And I, as far as I can tell, that was the weatherman forecasting a cool remainder of the summer. No news is bad news for the uranium patch, and there has been no news of import. It finished at 2063, up 13 cents since the beginning of July. That market's going nowhere right now.
Yeah, it seems to be stuck in neutral.
Yep.
Sure. And ratios?
Yeah, we'll spend a little bit more time on ratios today because they deserve comment. The gold-silver ratio is up to 75.5 at the end of the month. We haven't seen these levels since May of 2016. So that increase is getting to the point where people might consider buying silver at the over gold. Platinum to gold ratio hit an all-time low since gold was floated on international monetary exchanges in 1971 of 0.7401, so just barely above 0.74. At some point, platinum is going to have its day. And meanwhile, platinum-palladium ratio went down once again to 1.07. And we've talked about how long ago that was since that happened. So platinum is beat down. And, as a contrarian, we like beat down markets for buying ops. Meanwhile, energy, the Brent to WTI arbitrage remains strong at 1.055%. In the energy sector, WTI to Henry Hub at 17.7. We haven't seen a ratio this high since, what, the end of February. And meanwhile, a little comment on the gold to WTI ratio at over 25. And, you know, we've had a sustained long period with these high ratios. And the historic ratio, of course, is 13 to 1. And that just goes to show you that oil is undervalued right now, or perhaps based on fundamentals, we have an oversupply of oil.
Yeah, that could well be the case. Interesting numbers for this month. A lot of volatility, which we like, and a lot of price movement on the upside for so many of these markets.
Yeah, for the commodities, very volatile months. And that's good, especially in a time in the summer doldrums where perhaps you don't always expect a lot of volatility in resource markets.
Yeah, well, we expect for August, vacation season kicks into full gear. We might see a real dull spot here in the markets.
No, that'd be okay with me. I'm going on vacation on Saturday, so step away for a little while here.
Yeah, I mean, the markets are just markets. They're not necessarily a representation of reality, as we know all too well.
The market is what the market is, and your company or your commodity or your favorite currency is valued fairly any day in the market, because the market controls.
Yep, the market knows best. Anyways, you want to find Mickey, his site is mercenarygeologist.com. Your Twitter feed again, Mickey?
At mercenarygeo.
All right, and find us at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. I've been a little sparse on all fronts because I'm in the process of moving, but that will be concluded by Friday, and then it's back to business again, Mickey.
Well, Carrie, I have now put out 18 products, or they're in the can being processed right now since I arrived in Vancouver a week ago last night. So, like I said, I'm due for a vacation.
Yeah, I think you could use one. All right, Mickey. Well, have a good vacation, and we will pick up where we left off in September.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carrie. Good to talk to you once again.